All right, Felix, you ready? All right. Good morning. Our first talk of the day is from Felix. Felix is a researcher and free software supporter currently working on the Verilog AMS in GNUcap with funding from NLNet. Thanks, Felix.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris, for the introduction. Thanks for organizing this event. And thanks, everyone, for coming at this early hour. I would like to talk about GNUcap again and what happened since last FOSDEM, basically, giving a quick summary. And thanks to NLNet because this wouldn't happen without NLNet. There was lots of tinkering before NLNet came entering the scene, and I think that's an important aspect of this whole thing. So an extra thanks goes to Amsterdam. And so what is this about? The GNU circuit analysis package is a small package. We do circuit analysis. We extend the library with plugins, which I will explain in a bit. And it was originally meant as a different spice-like simulator to simulate stuff, but on smaller machines, smaller hardware demands and stuff. And it brought a model compiler, which allowed you to describe models and run them with your simulation. And the bit of the extra here is we do post-spice simulation. We use new algorithms, new concepts, and towards mixed simulations and doing things faster than other simulators do. And it started in 1990 with ACS, that's Al's circuit simulator. Al is here this year. He couldn't join us last year, but if you have questions to him, you can ask him maybe after the session. He released his software in 2001 under GPL license to avoid patent issues. And that's maybe part of the deal. We have stuff that others don't, and others would like to have but don't. And Al decided to move to plugins 10 years after, in order to make it more kind of community friendly. Without funding, that wasn't possible, and funding started 3 years ago. And so why circuits? We simulate circuits. Simulating circuits is part of the design process of chips and everything that depends on chips, PCBs, or circuits in general. And we want more of them. And commercial tools do this all the time, and free software is a bit lagging behind. And part of the problem is missing standardization. There's been some standardization work in programming languages in the past decades, which kind of missed out on circuit simulation and hardware description. And everyone invents their own hardware description language. And some companies sat together and decided to write up a standard to simulate or to verify first the circuit relevant models and came up with Verilog 95, which everyone probably knows from small logic simulations. And later variants have come up. And people have kind of collectively created models or could exchange data and simulate them and do similar things with similar results. And Verilog AMS is the analog mixed signal extension for Verilog 95, which adds what SPICE had to the Verilog 95 and adds some interconnect layers and modeling for stuff in between the analog and digital domain. And we just do it that way because we have no time to reinvent the wheel. Plugins, everyone knows plugins from Linux, from Python. We do it basically the same way. We have an interface that loads plugins. We allow everyone to build their own plugins. We don't care what they do, really. And if you have plugins, you can share them with others and let others run your stuff. You don't need to bother with upstream development, or you don't need to bother with completing them. You have a proof of concept, you can talk about it, you can present it. And we have some existing examples, some of which are built into the main repository, and we have some satellite repositories or branches with other stuff. And the new stuff that has happened since last FOSDEM is we have now we have node ordering plugins, because node ordering is a hard problem. Everyone who can do better, well, come and do better. Show us your plugin. We have a KLU plugin. KLU is one of these general purpose matrix solvers, which turned out to be nice for small analog circuits. And awaiting a new version of KLU, we already have the interface for it. And whatever you want to do. So we have these goals here, the standardization, the Verilog model gen, the support for Verilog AMS splits into the simulator support and the model compiler support, and we want to kind of make other people standardize their workflows to make tools more transparent and stuff. And that's why the first topic today is file formats again, and the second and third topic is about advancements in the simulator and model compiler, and I've got some work in progress on stuff, particularly other people jumping on board and doing great stuff, and I want to get into that a bit. So why do we need a file format for data interchange? It has been puzzling many for many years, but to build a chip or anything more complex, you need multiple tools, and you want to get your data across. And when you watch circuit designers, there's one group that uses commercial tools. The commercial tools are driven by armies of developers who write converters. And nobody in the open source or free software world can be really bothered with, I don't know, with catching up, really. So everyone catches up, but in different directions. So there's no common denominator, and it's a bit of a mess. And people are validating data exports more than they do real work. And the other problem is the one-way conversions. You do a conversion one way, you send some schematic to some simulator, and you never get it back into the schematic, and then you start inventing workarounds for that. And that's just the example I want to get into in more detail now. And a schematic is nothing but a circuit, but it does have coordinates attached to it. So why not just use circuits instead of drawings? And drawings is something that you can forget. If you miss out on a drawing, it's still the circuit that you want to design. And the syntax we chose for this proposed format is based on Verilog, because it has a history in this area, Verilog 95. I mean, that's a year, yeah? That's like 30 years ago and more. And if you do it that way, you could use the same circuit and just go with it. And Verilog S is the kind of standard extension name that we dub it Verilog S because it's Verilog and it has some extras. The S is schematic, and there has been early work as early as 2012. There was a Summer of Code student who started to try and import JIDA plugins, which prompted Al to think about it more, and he gave a talk here 10 years ago. And we put it on our proposal in 23 to extend on that work and build up this standard document, which is now, I mean, it's partly complete, but it's it works the way you would need it for what we want to do. And we have support in the simulator and model compiler for so-called same port devices, which I will go and explain in a bit. And there's also Verilog S support in a satellite project that David did from what was that? He's also NGI funded, and he wanted to use Quax for schematic editing stuff and used NuCap, and we kind of collaborated on some patches to Quax. And then there's Verilog S support there now, which is usable but not complete. And I hacked on this GNUCAP JIDA project, which came out of this Google Summer of Code project in 2012. And we do have non-circuit item support, so you can have proper schematics with everything attached to them and go back and forth between different representations. And what else is there that needs doing? Lepton is what was GDA, GEDA, and or GDA, and we were talking about adding Verilog S support to that too. And yeah, there are political problems with that, but it would be nice if somebody took over Quax and finished that work, and other schematic editor programs should also move forward. So the same port device that we have added support to, what are nets? In SPICE, nets don't exist. In schematics, nets are like drawings and lines, and in Verilog 95, oh surprise, they have been standardized and they have a proper meaning and they are supported and implemented since forever in tools that do discrete digital stuff, and it hasn't been propagated to the analog folks, unfortunately, which means we can't really we can't do much with schematics without nets. And in Quax, there are kind of traces in the code that indicate that it might have been intended. We have hacked that, and it's now working. And Verilog has this nice description for a same port device, which just means we have named ports and we have internal nodes in a module, and we can connect them any way we want, which already gives us a net. And every schematic has these everywhere, and now we can represent them, so our schematic becomes a circuit. I mean the drawing. So the simulator has this was the file format and data exchange. So this is the next topic, advancements in the simulator. Most of it was algorithmic and low-level stuff that we have added, and some is actually visible to users. So we have this circuit topology stuff supported in full, so you can now read in the schematics. Last year at FOSDEM, I said, oh, there's this workaround, and we can simulate Quax stuff and stuff, and now we can actually read in the files that Quax saves and simulate them. We have integration method selection, which I will explain. We have data shared across identical devices, which is important for scaling, and some minor stuff that, the node orderings are pluggable. That was a kind of a bigger lift, but it's not as user visible. It's something that researchers might be interested in. And the matrix interface and stuff, and you can now parse big SPICENET lists, which kind of choked the system, because why would we want to do that anyway? But now it's possible. We are still working towards the event-driven stuff and all the other Verilog AMS features related to that. The message is it will come. It's on my list. It's on my desk. It's more than half finished. It's much more finished than last year, and we are on track. It's not easy, because if it was easy, it would be called football. I don't know. So let's go to the algorithms here. The nets, in practice, these nets have different models. So we want them to be first-class devices in a model for different reasons. One is we want them to be a drawing in a schematic, and it doesn't really. We don't really know what users will do with them, and the application is going to decide. And whether a net is a transmission line or a short really depends on what analysis you're going to do. So we need them explicit, regardless, and we have this module net. We can do the schematic drawings, and this union find algorithm is now in place. It's in the library, and it carves out the actual topology of the circuit that is needed. And we have added these SPICE style things. I mean, we do have this SPICE subsystem in GNUCAP because the Verilog standard wants that. It's not because SPICE is fun, but we want to support SPICE, and if you have a SPICE netlist, we basically want to run it or understand it in unmodified, so you don't need to you don't need to change your data. You can just keep using it the way it is. The integration method selection is a deeper problem from signal processing. In analog simulation, you have this problem with time steps and integration methods. If you have like capacitors or coils in your circuit and something has inertia and stuff, you need to integrate stuff. And there are different methods. The trapezoidal rule is, it's like if you integrate and you measure the area under your curve, you can use this trapezoidal method. And it's very nice if your signals are clean and smooth and fast, allows for big time steps. And if there is a kink, a discontinuity, some discrete signal saying, oh no, this signal is suddenly something else, it starts ringing because of high frequency components and stuff. And people from the SPICE world have come up with some other methods that damps out discontinuities. They call it gear, and they switch to gear whenever it rings. And they do it globally, so the whole circuit now runs with gear, and it dissipates energy, so the results are suddenly questionable. So we need to make choices here. And in GNUCAP, this choice was made like 30 years ago, that we need this option per device on the user level, and not for someone who can write a C model for each case or for each stuff he does. So we can now select the integration method at a fine granularity at the user level. And for this, we need the Verilog input language, because the Verilog input language has support for system parameters, and system parameters can have extensions, so we can add an extension that does that. And for large signal, large mixed simulations, this will be necessary. And so we are moving ahead with stuff we need for large mixed simulations. And that concludes my simulator stuff that is new, and I'm going to explain a bit more about the model compiler. Model compiler kind of extends the whole system by the behavioral subset support for Verilog AMS. Behavioral modeling support is the bit in Verilog AMS that allows you to describe your devices using differential equations and assignments and delays and operators and stuff. And in order to run them, you need to turn them into bytecode. We turn them into C++ code. We compile them with GCC, and we load them into GNUCAP as plugins. And ModelGen Verilog is the part that turns behavioral descriptions into C++ code. And that can be loaded. And the work we are doing here is based on the ModelGen, which is the original model compiler, which coincidentally has influenced the way Verilog AMS looks now, but nobody has finished it. So it's kind of a good setup, but the ModelGen was analog only, and there was no AMS features back in the day. ModelGen Verilog now covers most of Verilog A, and whatever that means, really. Verilog A is a kind of a weird animal, because when some say Verilog A, they mean SPICE. We mean Verilog A as in NXE of the LRM, which means analog stuff plus events. And the growing Verilog AMS support, it goes towards the features that digital designers know from Icarus, like delayed assignments and stuff. This is on the way, and working on it. So the connectivity overhaul has already I already explained. Also touches the model compiler and the code generation for same port devices and stuff. I mean, same port device is just one example. It just means you can connect whatever to whatever in a hierarchical way and get the simulation out of it that it would that you would want to simulate. And we have been prompted to add random number generation. Oh, there's a typo. You can keep it. Random number generation is important when you do microelectronics, like semiconductor devices, mismatch simulation stuff, which is something someone else wants to do. So I added random number generation first, had to drop something else, but this is ready and kicking now. And the data type framework has been streamlined and extended. So we have the three Verilog basic data types, real, string, and integer now supported. And I think they should work in all places now. You will prove me wrong if you can, and I can fix it, but that's basically there now. Strings are great if you want to describe stuff or if you want to print out messages from devices that just monitor something, and then you can say, oh, this device has a problem or it's overheating and stuff, or you can use strings to select devices if you have identifiers in devices that enable or disable features, and then have a selection process. Integers are pretty clear. I mean, we need integers to do the Verilog 95 feature set. And the hierarchical references, that's a bit of an interesting one. Verilog has a concept of peeking into other devices during expansion and elaboration to do things like global variables or process parameters and stuff. And that mechanism is dubbed hierarchical reference, and it is exactly what you would think. It's a path to something else and something in something else, and you want to grab it, and that's your oxide thickness, whatever. And for the designer to actually specify this in a convenient place and not use some script that turns your circuit upside down in order to make all oxide thicknesses random, we can do it in a neat way using the standard procedures with hierarchical references. And there's some other feature now, the storage type inference, which is only performance related. It doesn't really add anything, but it will make larger simulations feasible, and I will get into that in a bit. The storage type. Verilog AMS has variables in each device. Variables can be used for different things. The user doesn't need to specify, so the compiler needs to make guesses. And variables can be device states. They can be in between device states, like nodes and stuff, but these are explicit. The device states themselves are implicit. And the other thing is, if you have two identical devices, they can share memory, of course. If there are some constants in them that are model related, and the ones that are neither of those two types are temporary, and you don't need to store them, so that also saves memory. And it all depends on the assign use pattern of variables. If you read a variable before you actually set it, the simulator assumes that you mean the status of the variable from the previous time step or from the time stuff. And that assign use pattern needs analysis, and we do this now. And there's a heuristic implemented in the model gen, and it's a heuristic because exact computation, well, do we want that? It might be possible, but it will have a horrendous runtime, and in most cases, wild constructions are not used. Prove me wrong. We can gradually extend this if needed, but just to get started and make everything else work, I think that's pretty good already. And we need less storage in the components because of the shared storage. We don't store temporaries anymore, and we don't store all states as we don't store all variable values as states in each instance of every device, which obviously reduces overhead. And that's another thing we need for scaling up. And what else do I have? Yeah, the topic four is the related work, and it's really, really fun because people are suddenly coming and want to do stuff with GNUCAP. And we have set up continuous integration, which I will go into in the next slide. we have this models repo, which is kind of an old repository. It shows models from other projects that run with GNUcap, and it shows how to link them together, how to load them, how it provides unit tests for them. So we actually have regression tests on models from other projects. And we do numerical cross-validation. That means someone did it, and that was quite fun because most of the time everything just matched what others have computed. And the one case was a bug, so we fixed one bug. And that is going to lead into another NLNet satellite project about generic test benches. So we have test benches formulated in a way that would run in different simulator environments under different conditions and with different models and whatever you want. So the generic is the idea. And there's an OSDI wrapper in production, which I cannot present yet. And the IHP, the Institute for, what is it, High Performance Processing in Frankfurt. They have a chip factory. They have a PDK, the open PDK, the IHP open PDK, some low voltage stuff. That they want to support GNUcap and port their PDK for use in GNUcap, which is the other point where I give some details in a bit. So the continuous integration is thanks to Eric at Commons Caretakers. He dropped by, gave this idea, he hacked some scripts together, and this is running. So in order to grow, we need a contribution process. Everyone can contribute by writing their own plugins, but if you want to submit a bug, you would expect CI or something, and there's some structural hassle. I mean, we have these repositories all over the place, and we need to find a common denominator and make it work nicely. And we need you as contributors in the end. I mean, you can even contribute some free repo structure ideas. That would be fun to discuss this with people from other domains, or just getting some insight. I mean, I do this as a sideline. Eric does this as a helping hand. There's lots of work to do to make this work cleanly. And we are now set to do this on Codeberg, because Codeberg is the only sane platform these days. And we don't need Copilot nonsense and stuff. And the models and validation, yeah, the models repo. We do have the old SPICE3F5 C code that runs with GNUcap, and it shows how to do that. We have wrappers for this. We have all these ngSpice releases lined up in different branches. I mean, the main branch only has ngSpice 17 as a golden reference, and the current. And the Berkeley University has, that's supposed to be a capital B in Berkeley, sorry. They have released their C code for SPICE models back in the days, and this also runs with GNUcap. GNUcap is the only simulator that runs the code unmodified, by the way, and so we can run the Berkeley models and show what the results are. There's this compact modeling coalition that has raised some attention, and they collect Verilog A models for different devices like PSP, and there are some others, some resistor and lots of transistor devices that make good test cases for us. And there's lots of work in progress adding them to the repository. We are currently doing trying to generalize the process and make it streamline this. In the end, we want you to be able to clone the repository, type make, and see all the nice binaries for these compact model coalition plugins, as well as the old SPICE devices that you can all combine together in your simulation if you like that. And the regression testing has shown up to be useful. I mean, this is everyone needs regression tests. And when we change the solvers to new stuff, we also want to know that it still works with the SPICE 3F5 models. So we need that to validate every single step we take. And we already found a bug in ngSpice 2 in ModelGen using this process. I mean, bugs that are more than trivial. Like, that's not a semicolon bug, but if we added other devices from other projects, we might find some others. So the cross-validation is thanks to Lucas. He has got some NLNet funding to make nice pictures with comparison plots and numerical tolerance checks for various devices. He looked particularly into the Verilog A stuff because that would catch the problems we have in ModelGen. And here you see some plots. He showed me some noise analysis, and this noise is just the numerical error exponent, which means low error. And here this oscillator trajectory at transient outputs, they just basically match exactly with something another simulator would give you. And I want to extend this. We want, in the end, we want to use Verilog S for these test cases, because Verilog S allows you to visualize the circuits and allow you to not modify them for simulation. So you actually see what you get and not some weird mix of things, and you don't need extra tools, so you can map. You can even map Verilog S to SPICE. I mean, if you know how to, Verilog has attributes. You can use attributes to attach SPICE metadata, and you can turn it into a SPICE netlist to feed into ngSpice. So Verilog S is the format that should be used for schematics. And the separate project is on the way. It's not fully agreed yet, but this is something Lucas is doing. Lucas is also working on the OSDI wrapper. That's a file format or interface format from the OpenVIF project, which has stopped when the author has been hired by a company that needs it, and they have really fast compilation for analog models. The target was these compact models, millions of lines of code, thousands of lines of code of behavioral stuff, and they have a method that is much faster than what we have in terms of compilation, but they only do SPICE. So why not also do this? And we have wrappers. We know how SPICE works. Lucas is getting into the matter right now, and he's working on this this wrapper. And that would allow you to just add another animal to the zoo. And the IHP PDK, that's the stuff in Frankfurt. Christoph has picked up some stuff Pepin has uploaded, and we are collaborating to do mixed cell libraries, and he's finding bugs, I'm adding features. It's a nice collaboration, and that will lead to official support for GNUcap in that PDK eventually. And that's basically all I have. I mean, this is really testing new features and allows me to spot gaps. And he says, I want this, points at a page in the LRM, in the language reference manual, and says, I want this feature. And I'm on the thanks slide already. So if you want to join us, or if you want to try, you can get started on the wiki, on the mailing list chat. And if you want to do stuff, there's funding from NLNet. Might be more funding than I can use myself. And thanks for listening, and thanks for coming. And do you have any questions?
We really don't have time for questions. So
time is
you
up.
Can, yes.
No, not question time is up.
Yeah. So we're moving on to the next, but Felix...
I'm around, just feel
Felix
free to...
Felix will meet you outside.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Felix.